Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Fraser here with you on this Friday morning. And as we do every Friday morning at 8 o'clock, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter and host of Talking with TD. TD, good morning. How we doing?
Hey, good morning. How's it going?
We're awesome, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. TD, what did you make of Ryan Tannehill's press conference the other day? Kind of the way that he approached some of those questions, specifically about his conversations with Rand Carthon over the offseason.
I like the approach, and it's a matter of controlling what you could control and being focused on that. I really like how he had that mindset, and he said he's just going to focus on going out every day and getting better and winning games, and I think that's what it's about. Definitely showed a lot of maturity, and it's almost like that maturity that he has is a gift and a curse, because it's a gift in that it'll allow him to work through this, but it's a curse in that it makes – the organization even more comfortable knowing that he's not going to turn around and cause a lot of the rift that other quarterbacks or players may do if you draft a future replacement in back-to-back years.
I haven't really thought about it that way, but so like basically they're taking advantage of his niceness. He's nice guys finish last kind of thing here.
Yeah, I don't think it's a matter of taking advantage of it as much as it's like, hey, I know he's not going to have an issue. And we have a job to do, so it makes it easier to go about doing that.
So we've talked quite a bit about him today, TD. One, just the idea of, well, I'm not even going to bring up the idea of a quarterback competition. There's not a competition, right? I mean, Tannehill's going to be the starter if he and Levis are both out there. I would imagine he's quite a bit ahead of Levis. But what about the idea of moving on from Tannehill? Again, I don't think the trade market is great. There's a couple teams you could maybe make a case for, but just moving on and playing Levis this year and taking the lumps, but letting the rookie see, work through it on the field. That has worked for some quarterbacks. And of course, you're in better position next year. If you were in charge, would you consider doing that, or would you be convicted that it's just got to be, Tannehill and just try to be as good as you can be this year?
No, I think you really go ahead and allow them to compete, the so-called earn it on the grass, as they've said they're going to do. I wouldn't go with Levis out there now. I wouldn't do that, because regardless of how talented he is or how much what he did at Kentucky, in that play-action-based scheme, how much that transfers to what the Titans do, I don't think he's ready, honestly. I think you still need to do a lot as far as the developmental part of it, being better with the football, not putting it in harm's way, and making reads better. Those are all areas for improvement for Levis. So I would work on that throughout the process, and you have the luxury of having a guy like Tannehill who's going to win or go out and put the best foot forward. So I think that having him, anytime you have Henry, Tannehill, and Vrabel, you're going to win. You're probably going to win 7 to 8 games. So you are kind of hurting yourself draft status wise. But you know what? That's not that's the long term. You got to take care of what's in front of you. And you, regardless, have to field a team that's going to be competitive.
So Ron Davenport with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So TD, what do you make of the way this all played out for the Titans, going from the C.J. Stroud conversation, really the day of the draft, and the Titans maybe trying to move up to number 3 there to get him, to Will Levis sliding out of the first round, and to the Titans moving up to go get him early in the second round? What do you make of the way this all transpired for the Titans, and what do you make of the position the Titans are now in, having drafted the quarterback?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely some information that leaked out, and I don't know that information forced the Texans in. I think this is what they were going to do all along. But end of the day, they ended up with a quarterback. Now, was it the top guy on their board? That, depending on who you talk to, that remains to be seen. But I think that's how you look at it. End of the day, they got a guy for their future. Now, as far as, going forward, I think they're in a good position, right? Because you got Skowronski, your offensive line is going to be stronger. So that's the foundation. And like any other team that's defense-based and running-based, that's where you start. You build from inside out.
So we haven't really, you know, been able to just go through the entire hall with you, TD. So what's your favorite pick from this draft?
You know, I can't say that I have a favorite pick. I don't have a favorite pick to look at it that way. There's intriguing picks. Obviously, Tajay Spears is one that, you know, a lot of people are questioning. But I think that's going to give him solid production for at least 4 years. You look at what he'll come in and do this year. He'll be a guy that will compete for that third down back and that change of pace back role to Derrick Henry. But if they should move on from Derrick Henry, I think, you know, this is a guy that, you know, could be a big part of the committee that they'll likely have with he and Hassan Haskins. So I could give you the most intriguing pick. I don't have a favorite pick, frankly.
TD Skoronski coming in now. We've seen kind of the completed work here on the offensive line via free agency in the draft. Now that Skoronski is in the fold and Duncan as well in the draft, what do you make of the revamped offensive line for the Titans? And where do you see Skoronski playing? Do you see him at tackle or at guard?
Yeah, it's very athletic. I will say that. You look at that center, left guard, left tackle outlook that they'll probably have, you know, with Aaron Brewer, the 290-pound Aaron Brewer. And then I figure Skoronski will fill in at left guard and Andre Dillard at left tackle. That's a pretty athletic left side. So I like what they have. And Daniel Brunskill is no slouch himself, so you have that. And Petit Frere, you know, is an up-and-coming player that just is going to have to build on, you know, an up-and-down last year, rookie season. So I think overall the line looks good. And the reason why I put Skoronski at left guard is, in my opinion, with the offensive line, it's all about getting your best five out there, right? You got to get your best five guys out there. And I think, you know, having the luxury of versatility with Skoronski, you could pop him inside to play guard. Now, he hasn't done it since the sixth grade, so it's going to be a little bit of a process. But, you know, I think he's built for it, and that's going to be a solid offensive line.
TD, what did you make of the conversation around the offense from some of the guys this week, Chig and Tannehill, I guess in particular, kind of talking about the changes? How different do you think it will be? I mean, do you think it will be a noticeable departure even from kind of like the Shanahan stuff? Obviously, they're going to run a ton of outside zone and stuff like that, right? But, like, do you think it will even maybe a little bit resemble what Houston did, even though it's totally different personnel? Or is that, you know, did you think coming away from those comments that there's pretty significant changes coming?
Did we may have lost TD.
Hello, TD.
TD, are you there?
TD,
can
you hear me?
Oh, there he is. There he is.
All right, yeah. Yeah. I'm not sure what happened there. I think it is going to resemble what Houston did somewhat. There's things that I like in hearing the players talk that we got to speak to on Wednesday. But one thing you have to realize is that play action is going to remain as is. And a little stat for you, if you look at since, and this is something that, you know, really applies to Will Levis because of the play action that he was in. Trying to bring it up here. I got it from Sports and Information. And, of course, as I'm saying it, it's not showing up. I believe it was 2,936, if I remember the number correctly. That is the number of play action passes the Titans have done under Mike Vrabel since he took over in 2018. So with the Texans, Tim Kelly, that year that Deshaun Watson had the 4,800 passing yards, I think it was about 27-28% of their passes were play action. So I say all that to say, that part, I think, is going to remain the same. But the thing, to get back to what I said about the players, what I like the most about what they said is the tempo and the speed of the offense, right? Getting in and out of the huddle quicker. Now, you talk about adding speed to the team. it doesn't always have to be a guy running a 4-3. You could add speed to the team by increasing the tempo at which you play. And tempo is one thing that always creates a sense of urgency. Sense of urgency makes you play faster. So I think that's a way that this offense could be a little bit faster. It doesn't, like I said, have to be, from a physical standpoint, your ability to run fast. It could also be how you play.
Yeah, that's a really interesting point. TD, last thing for you here. Where do the Titans go from here now at wide receiver? We've gone through the first part of free agency and the draft, and they took Colton Dowell in the draft in the seventh round, and we'll see what he turns out to be. But obviously, this is a very unproven room right now at wide receiver. What do you think it looks like from here on out for the Titans? Is there another move that could be coming, or you think this is it for the Titans and they're rolling with what they got?
You know what? If I'm the Titans, I might give Chase a call, you know, and just say, hey, Chase, listen, I know you have Chris Sanders do random segments, and I know he looks like Tyrone Hill, but we're gonna need him to come out and give us a couple go routes. And I know you got the D-Maze Willie and Caroline show, but yeah, we need to see if D-Maze is able to come out, field a couple punts, and if he still has that nice backside dig route in him. That's probably what they have to do. But no, all jokes aside. I think it's just a matter of combing the waiver wire. And then you have to look through the different teams and look at situations, right? Jared had mentioned the Tyler Boyd. I don't know that they have the capital to make that type of trade. But you look at a team like the Bears, right? So during the season, they traded for Chase Claypool, you know. And then during before the draft, they traded for DJ Moore. Then they took Tyler Scott. Now, having those three, does that make you say, hey, you know what? We got a speed guy in Tyler Scott that attacks the ball. Let's see if we could move Darnell Mooney. You know what I mean? So now maybe that's a trade that they could do. That's an example of what you got to do, is the Titans front office, comb different rosters and look at transactions and look at how that may affect the availability of a guy that could come in and help you. Because at this point, that's all they could do.
TD, great stuff as always. Really appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, for sure. Appreciate it. Take care.
And you could lock D-Mace up on some press coverage too, TD.
Yeah, you could.
Right?
Let's put you on the field too. I DBs and myself didn't get along, man. I played the receiver position, so I'm not covering anybody.
Why did I have that wrong? I thought you were a corner.
No.
Jeez.
He's smoking people out there.
Yeah, okay. Well, then we'll put you out there then.
Yeah.
All right.
That's right.
That's
not happening. Thanks, TD. Appreciate you, man.
All right.
Teron Davenport, our guest here on Robbie and Rexroll. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Epic fail by Rexroll there.
I'm shook. That was terrible. What's wrong?
It happens to the best of us. No big deal.
It does. Professional was the word that Nick used to describe us earlier. And I said, maybe a little strong. Well, more on the Titans coming up.
Qualified,
next.
Again,
maybe a little strong. More on the Titans coming up next. This is Robbie and Rexroll, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. We are live from our 1025 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Robbie and Rex Road, presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty, where their advanced pay by TJ option can save you thousands when selling your home. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroll, Nick Frazier here with you on this Friday morning. We're taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. Gordon from Nashville on the text line says, one thing about the Titans' relationship with Tannehill is that they overreacted to a surprisingly good season and it gave him way too big of a contract. It seems like I was the only person in Nashville that was upset with that deal because I still remembered his entire career of mediocrity in Miami. I think you could make a case that he's good enough to be great around if it weren't for that ridiculous paycheck. This is from Gordon on the text line. What do you think of that?
Yeah, look, is this me sort of like agreeing with Jared again? But
maybe so.
Tannehill's contract has not been some kind of an albatross. The cap is real. But you can figure things out like they did with Julio Jones, for example. I mean, in 21, look at what they did. The point I made to Gordon on the text line is, like, it's worth bringing up that, like, the season after that, he was the number what quarter? I said he was the top six or seven QB in the league in 2020. I don't think I'm wrong. He was certainly top 10. And it was a 30.7 points a game offense.
That same time, Keyshawn had Cam at like number 11 or whatever it was. Cam Newton.
Yeah.
Tannehill like 14.
I thought he had him like number 4.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like immediately the returns were there, right? It just I look, obviously it's better to have a rookie quarterback deal if you can have it, and we've seen certainly where teams have taken advantage of that and been able to do more with their roster, but I mean, the Titans didn't trade A.J. Brown because the cap mandated that they do so. They did it because of all the way the negotiating was going, and frankly, because John Robinson made the mistake of his career.
Yeah.
I don't think they've made bad choices. His paycheck has nothing to do with drafting Isaiah Wilson. His paycheck has nothing to do with drafting Caleb Farley. Has nothing to do with drafting Dylan Raidens, et cetera, right? I mean, they've made a bunch of mistakes since they got to that point. So I hear you. Like, you could say, and the contract was big at the time. I mean, at this point, with what he has done on the field, I would argue that it's a pretty friendly contract for the team.
I got a texter that says, why is everyone defending a quarterback who across the league is mid? Nice use of mid there. Just because he is the most successful Titans quarterback since McNair does not make him as good as any quarterback in the AFC. People have two-tone glasses vision. This is from an unnamed texter on the text line. Anytime we use the word mid, I'm good with it.
Yeah, the kids like to say that stuff. All right, Tannehill, he's polarizing because, you know, there's a lot of people on here defending him, and then there's others who – you know, are all over him like this. I'm kind of mid on the whole topic, you know? He's a good player. And he does deserve better in terms of the choices that I just laid out, right?
Sure. And been great not to trade A.J. Brown.
Right. So, but at the same time, you were right. It wasn't just the Bengals game. That year, he struggled. It was the first year without Arthur Smith, and there were a lot of issues around him, but he struggled. He made too many mistakes, and he was bad in the Baltimore game. He was bad. You know, I thought he was good in the two playoff wins he had with the Titans. Didn't have big numbers, but he was good. He played winning football, and he was pretty good in Kansas City, really. I mean, that wasn't on him. He was bad in the Baltimore game. So starting from that point, after that amazing 2020 season, through the 21 season and through the Bengals playoff game, he did not perform the way they expected or needed him to perform.
Yeah, no question about it. And like I said, their actions have followed that up since then in terms of the way they think about it and what they do. Like, you know, even, you know, we talked about this. I even separate the Malik Willis pick and the Will Levis pick. Like, the Malik Willis pick is in the third round and the guy has fallen to you. And even as late as that day, people thought that there was a chance that Malik Willis could go in the first round just because he's quarterback. Now, Titans took a chance, and he's still on the team, still on the roster. But I think the drafting of Will Levis also kind of tells you what they think about Malik Willis at this point too. Like, Will Levis right now, when you move up in the second round at number 33 overall to go get him, you're not taking that guy because you're taking a flyer on him. He's going to be your quarterback of the future.
Yeah.
Now, it may not work, but he's going to be the quarterback of the future.
Right. So Tannehill said it's deja vu, but – It is different, no doubt. No doubt. I mean, it kind of fell to you, but you then moved up, and so it is different. And, yeah, they've been working real hard to move away from Tannehill. So here on the text line, Tannehill, the best QB in Titans history. Cue the McNair crazies. Okay. So a wide range of opinions today on Ryan Tannehill. You know, it's funny, though. I will say, Robbie, in that 2020 season, I know that we sat here in this room – and definitely had the discussion of, this might be the best quarterbacking the Titans have ever seen.
Yeah.
Now, the entirety of his career, I would disagree with you.
I agree.
Steve McNair was better. Steve McNair was co-MVP. The McNair crazies don't have to say anything to talk about a guy who got you within a play of winning the Super Bowl and won an MVP. Come on.
Well, the game is just so different now than it was then, too. I mean, it's really, in the grand scheme of things, that wasn't that long ago. But the game is totally different now than it was then. I mean,
well, some fans will tell you that this is the Jeff Fisher offense
it's
all
not.
Over again.
I promise you that it's not.
I'm not agreeing with them. I'm just telling you.
I'm not trying to diminish what Tannehill has done. To me, the answer, the question is very simple to me. Hey, look, you can have a different opinion on this than I have. I don't. That's fine. But the question is, do you think you can win a Super Bowl? Not do you think you can win a division. Not do you think you can get to the playoffs. Do you think you can win a Super Bowl in this AFC with the quarterbacks that you have to go through with Ryan Tannehill?
Well, Sean Mack from Dixon says, look, guys, I'm not a Titans fan, but can the Titans win the Super Bowl with Tannehill? Answer is yes, if they have all the other components needed. Great defense, good receivers. Example, Ravens with Dilfer, Broncos with Manning. At most, those quarterbacks were a C-plus to B quarterbacks those Super Bowl years. And I'm not arguing with anything he said, but I will say.
I'm arguing with everything he said.
Okay.
Trent Dilfer was 25 years ago. Okay. Right. And the quarterbacks, even in Manning's year with Denver, the AFC has never been this loaded at quarterback. Ever. Not close. It's loaded at quarterback. It's a totally different discussion now. I know that they've had Manning and that they've had Brady and Roethlisberger, and those are three great players. And I'm not saying it wasn't difficult to get through those three, because obviously it was. But Burrow and Allen and Mahomes and Herbert and Jackson, who, by the way, has won an MVP. Like, we can keep going. Rodgers is in the AFC. It's never been harder to win the AFC than it is right now.
Everything you said is right. I'm going to list some quarterbacks in recent years in modern times who have been to the Super Bowl and won a Super Bowl. Matthew Stafford. Is he better than Tannehill? Yes. Jalen Hurts, he is a different story. Jimmy Garoppolo. Mm-hmm. Jared Goff.
And every one of those are in the NFC and didn't have to go through every one of those quarterbacks that I just mentioned.
Yeah, but you don't have to go through every one of them. You have to go through three of them.
I understand that. But you have to make the playoffs in going through all of them. So you do have to go through all of them. Wow. They're all playing. You have to be one of the best seven teams in the conference to get in the playoffs.
Right, but you don't have to head-to-head beat all of them. I mean, unless your schedule happens to be just wild. Yeah, I mean, look, what he's saying is not like it's not impossible, okay? But the problem anyway at this point making this argument, Sean, is like, again, kind of what we've been talking about today, like they've gone away from the being great around them. They've moved away from that. So, like, it doesn't even – you know what I mean? Like –
this team
they
is
have,
currently
they have
constructed,
stopped trying to be great around him.
This team is currently constructed has no chance to win a Super Bowl. And you may not want to hear that. This team has no chance to win a Super Bowl constructed.
Save this, Nick. Save this for Nick.
Look at this roster. Look at that wide receiver core and tell me this team has a chance to win a Super Bowl. Please. I'd love for somebody to tell me that.
God, when NWI's got like 8 for 220 in the bowl. Yeah. Oh, my God.
I'd love for somebody to tell me that and actually believe it. Like, tell me that you actually believe that this team right now can win a Super Bowl.
What percentage of the Titans fan base right now believes it? I mean, there's some people on here who are like, we can win the division, and I don't disagree with you.
You can win the division.
Yeah.
12%.
You think 12% of Titans fans think that this team could win a Super Bowl? I think that's high.
I'm being generous. As being an Asheville-ian, I'm being generous.
I'd say I might go like 8%. Something like that.
Okay. Andrew on the text line says, loaded AFC quarterbacks, Lamar, Herbert, and Josh Allen haven't won anything. It's Burrow, Mahomes, and then a bunch of good quarterbacks. There are not eight elite ones.
Okay, but are those guys better than Ryan Tannehill?
Significantly.
Yeah. I mean, I understand you could tier it that way. You could tier it. I mean, some people tier it Mahomes and then another tier. Some people might tier it Mahomes, Burrow. And I might do that, Mahomes, Burrow, and then go Lamar, Herbert, Allen.
Rodgers.
Yeah, he's okay.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
So that's probably –
Two was pretty good last year.
Yeah. And then you get into
– Trevor Lawrence is pretty good.
Right. And those guys are all – I'd put Tannehill, if he has a team around him, in the same range. But those six, at least for sure, I would not put him above any of them.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, it's time for Weekend Winners here on Robbie and Rex Road. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. And it is that time of the week, time for Weekend Winners here on Robbie and Rex Road. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Fraser here with you on this Friday morning. A quick standings update in the competition. Michelle Knezovic going 3-3 with no lock the last time we did this. Took last week off due to the NFL draft, so it's been a couple weeks. Joe 2-4, no lock. Myself 2-4, no lock as well. Not great in the most recent edition of weekend winners. Michelle Knezovic in first place, 21-15. Her record, 5-1 on her locks, good for 26 points. I am 18-18, exactly 500. 1-5 on my locks, so that's been terrible. Good for 19 points. And Joe Rexrode, 15-21, 1-5 on his locks, good for 16 points in the competition. Joe, your reaction? You look disgusted.
I could not be the Alabama baseball coach.
Well, or maybe you could. Just go the opposite. See what happens.
He seems to have a better feel for gambling.
He does. Very much so. With that in mind, let's get things going today. The Warriors and the Lakers coming up in Game 3. The Warriors even things up last night. Lakers favored by 3.5 in Game 3 tomorrow. Michelle Knezovic has sent in her pick. She's going with the Warriors and plus the 3.5 and to win outright on the money line and locking down. So Michelle locking down on the Warriors plus the 3.5. Joe Rexrode, the Lakers and the Warriors. Lakers favored by 3.5.
Yeah, I'll take those points too, but I will not lock it.
I'm going to go with the Lakers. I think LeBron plays well. I think Anthony Davis plays really well, and the Lakers win by about 6 or 7 at home in Game 3, and they take a 2-1 series lead. I don't feel great about it. You know, if Klay shoots anywhere near the way he shot last night, the Lakers could be in some serious trouble in this series, but you never quite know if Klay's going to follow that one up.
Yeah, he doesn't use – I mean, now at this point in his career, doesn't usually have two total, like, eruption games like that in a row.
So we'll see what happens on that front coming up in Game 3. Game 2 between the Edmonton Oilers and the Vegas Golden Knights. Vegas wins the first game. They're up 1-0 in the series in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Going money line in Game 2 between the Oilers and the Knights. I'll start on this one. Give me the Oilers. You know, look, Leon Draisaitl is playing out of his mind right now. He scored 4 goals the other night. He's got 11 goals in 7 playoff games, which is just absolutely absurd what he's doing. You know, McDavid and him are borderline unstoppable. They got to get some other guys going. Like, that, the end of the last series against the Kings, they finally got – some other guys contributing, and, you know, Evander Kane was scoring some goals and Zach Hyman was playing well. There are too many times where other guys on that group just go totally invisible, where, like, if they didn't, this team would be unstoppable just because of how good McDavid and Draisaitl are. But I think they'll be good in Game 2, and I'll go with the Oilers in Game 2. Joe Rexrode, the Oilers and the Knights coming up in Game 2.
Yep, Oilers. You know, even though Draisaitl will only probably get, like, a couple goals, I like their chances.
Going with the Oilers in Game 2. Michelle Knezovic also going with the Oilers in Game 2 as well. We move to the individual portion of the program. Joe Rexrode, your first individual selection.
So I'm going to go, and I was just trying to get inside information from our resident Miami Heat fan,
yes.
You. Knicks at Heat, Heat minus 3. I'm going to lock down the Heat. And I believe – I think it makes sense. It lines up for Jimmy Butler to return, and they played really well without him in Game 2 and had a real chance to win that game.
Yep,
I like them to win a commanding game to take a 2-1 lead. Lock it down.
Well, let's just go ahead and finish that out then. Michelle has the Heat minus 3 as well, and I have the Heat minus the 3 locking down as well.
Oh,
for the Miami Heat coming up in Game 3. So congratulations to the New York Knicks.
Yeah.
For their impending victory coming up in Game 3 down in Miami.
Josh Hart's going off for 40.
Joe, your second individual selection.
So Celtics at Sixers. Sixers getting 2.5. I think the Celtics win and cover on that. You know, incredible job by the Sixers to get that done in Game 1. James Harden goes nuts. I kind of the same thing I just said with Clay. I don't think you're going to have a repeat of that. Embiid is banged up. Celtics are better, and they're going to show why. That was almost my lock.
I'm going to stay in South Florida. Game 3 between the Leafs and the Panthers coming up on Sunday. Toronto's favored in this game, and they're favored
by
a goal and a half.
Is that right?
I'm going Florida on the money line. I will take the Panthers on the money line at home. They're rolling right now. Yeah, they were down 2-0 last night, and it kind of felt like Toronto was about to just go all over them. And then Florida – the way that they play the game right now, I think they're about to go up 3-0 on the Leafs, and panic will already set in. It's really set in now with them losing both games at home. But give me Florida on the money line coming up on Sunday in Game 3.
It was an amazing parade, Toronto.
It was. Hope you enjoyed the first round.
You won over Tampa Bay, and then Boston loses. Yes! Oh, it's our year! And, oh, yeah. Nope. Sorry.
Michelle Konezvic also going with she's going the opposite of you, going Philly plus 2.5 against the Celtics.
Okay.
Coming tonight on in the NBA. So there's that. On the final individual selection, Michelle going with the Suns tonight in game 3 on the money line. So going with the Phoenix Suns without Chris Paul on the money line.
Okay. So I'm getting 4.5 with the Nuggets, and I am absolutely taking the 4.5.
There you go.
Nuggets plus 4.5, and I think they might win it. But either way, I love that. I love taking those points. I think if they lose, it's a very close game without Chris Paul.
So should we allow Michelle to take the money line in a game that the Suns are favored in?
Well, I'm fine with her taking the money line because otherwise she's giving up 4.5 points.
Yeah.
So sure.
All right.
Yeah, take it straight up. That's fine. We need every edge we can get against Michelle.
All right. We'll see what happens on that front. Sticking in the NHL for my final selection, it's been a fun playoff so far to watch for the New Jersey Devils, but I think they've met their match in this series. I would take Carolina tonight in game 2 minus the 1.5. I mean, Carolina minus 1.5. I think they win like 4-1 or something tonight. So I'll go Carolina minus the 1.5. I've been underestimating the Devils all playoffs, and they just beat the Rangers.
But they're just – this series is going to stink because the Rangers blew it.
They did.
It would have been a great series. I was excited for that series, and that didn't happen. The Devils will just stink.
The Devils, I mean, they're fun to watch, but there's just – there's always something to me about watching the Devils. I'm just like, who cares? It's the Devils.
I've hated the Devils since 1995. Yes. Okay.
615.
Stupid Marty Brodeur. Hate him.
There's no one that hates the combination of Patrick Waugh and Marty Brodeur like you do.
Wow. But let's Marty Brodeur is fine. He's fine. He's no Patty Roy.
Patty Roy. 615-737-1025, our phone number. We got a whole lot of your thoughts to get to on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We will do that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025 on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Some of y'all are making me feel real bad, like I'm like attacking Ryan Tannehill or something. I do like Ryan Tannehill. Just want to let the record show.
Uh-huh. Sure you do.
I like Tannehill.
Yeah, you just love him.
We were talking Mariota. Maybe a different discussion. But I like Tannehill. It's text on the text line. It says, Tannehill has been as good in the playoffs as Josh Allen. Josh Allen hasn't taken an injury-crippled team to be a number one seed in the AFC. Both have made exactly one conference championship appearance. The difference is Josh Allen has video game playmakers around him, while Tannehill's had average to below-average cast around him in the past few years. Looked at a different way, if you swap Tannehill and Allen, Buffalo is as good or better than they have been, where the Titans are not as good as they have been. If I'm starting a team today,
you
I'm
lost
taking
me.
Allen. If I have to pick from the current guys because of the age difference, but if I'm taking either quarterback at their best, I'm taking Tannehill. What are we talking about?
I'm going to have to go ahead and disagree on that one.
Let me just read you a stat from one playoff game of Josh Allen's career, okay? Go back to 2022. January 23rd, maybe the greatest football game that's ever been played. Depends on who you ask, but maybe the greatest football game that's ever been played. Josh Allen, 27 of 37, 329 yards, 4 touchdowns, a quarterback rating of 136 in the playoffs against the Chiefs. Ryan Tannehill's never approached something like that. Not coming within the same zip code of something like that. So again, you guys are making me feel bad. Like I'm trying to have to bash Ryan Tannehill, but like, are we really trying to say that Josh Allen and Ryan Tannehill are like the same guy? Like, what are we doing?
Robbie Stanley says Tannehill stinks. That's what I'd take away from this show.
Good
I don't
gracious.
Know. I don't really remember the other stuff that
if
people were saying.
If you swap Tannehill and Allen, Buffalo is as good or better. What?
Yeah, that's a tough sell there, buddy. That's a tough one. Sorry, I'm distracted now because now Jared is texting me segments from the story that Willie sent and is saying that it actually proves his point instead of Willie's. We just need to get these two
in a set
room.
It up.
Yeah, let's come on. Let's just get these two in a room together.
I'm going to have to spend all weekend, like, I guess, crafting an apology to Ryan Tannehill Monday for how much I've had to, like, throw him under the bus today. I do like Ryan Tannehill. I just don't think you can win a Super Bowl with him. And I think the Titans kind of feel the same way based on their actions. That's all I'm saying.
It does appear that way. Dane from Nolensville says, only Mahomes has won a Super Bowl out of all those quarterbacks you named, and then Rodgers 15 years ago. How many playoff games has Jackson won? One, maybe two? Has Justin Herbert even won a playoff game? And then I said, no, do you prefer Tannehill to them? And they said, well,
how many playoff games has Ryan Tannehill won? He's won two playoff games. Guys, Like, what are we talking about here? Like, you guys are acting like Ryan Tannehill is like some playoff legend here. What are we talking about? This is absurd. This whole conversation is absurd to me.
I think it's just a shame that we have to end in a couple minutes.
Oh,
I mean,
my
God. You could have an hour of ranting right now.
It's like, Joe Burrow hadn't won a Super Bowl either. It's like, yeah, watch the guy play. He's like 23 years old.
Yeah.
So, I mean, good gracious.
Hey, I'm glad that we can go back to, because I thought maybe we were done, you know, arguing about Ryan Tannehill. You know, it's kind of, because it's kind of like the writing's on the wall. It's like last year, enjoy this, but we can still argue about Ryan Tannehill. That's good. We need that, you know, because we're going to, it's good to have some diversity of quarterbacks to argue about.
I thought the only thing that was going to annoy me today was all like the Swifties running around Nashville. Now I got this Tannehill discussion.
Speaking of which.
Again, I like Ryan Tannehill. Just want to make it clear.
Yeah. Yeah, look, I, what everybody's saying is fine. I hear you, but I guess the answer back is just like, and one texter said what he or she said, they would take Tannehill over Josh Allen. That's a take. That's a take, okay?
Ugh.
But with all these people we listed, now some people, I've heard the case, and Tannehill beat Lamar Jackson head-to-head and all that stuff, and Lamar Jackson has not performed well.
You guys do.
I personally would take Lamar Jackson over Ryan Tannehill. I know that I guess that's controversial to some people.
You guys do realize that Lamar Jackson has also beaten Ryan Tannehill head to head in the playoffs too, right?
Yes. Okay. That also did happen.
All right.
Yes.
Just throwing that out there.
I saw who was I love his Cork Bats
Austin Huff.
Yeah. He had a nice sarcastic funny thing. Oh, actually the stats are reversed. Tannehill's actually way better than him in the playoffs. Like, yeah, it's fine, but nah, I'll take Lamar Jackson. You take these top guys. Now, look, I'm a little different from you on the if you had the right conditions. I've always believed it, that Tannehill could get you there. I believed it, and then the Cincinnati game happened. It's like, okay, well, that was the opportunity, man. Two home games. Win two home games. One against a team that absolutely can't block anyone.
Yeah.
And you are in the Super Bowl. Well, so, I mean that's why we're here. That's why we are where we are today.
Well, and that's the other thing. Like, if you had the right conditions, I agree. Like, that could happen. We've certainly seen worse quarterbacks than Ryan Tannehill win the Super Bowl.
With much better conditions
with
than he has right now.
With much better conditions than he has right now. There's no question about that. Now, Ryan Tannehill also had pretty darn good conditions in 2020, and he was not good against Baltimore. You know, I understand the defense was a huge problem in 2020. The defense, specifically in the Baltimore playoff game, other than letting Lamar Jackson break loose one time, played about as well as that sorry defense you could have hoped that they could have played.
Stunningly good at performance.
And the offense was a total letdown in that game.
It's been
he was a big part of it.
It's been a fun day of revisiting all the postseason nightmares of recent years for the Titans.
It really has.
Man. But it does show you, I mean, the conversation here shows you there's a wide range of belief. This is where I again need the entire fan base to vote on something so I can see what people think.
I agree.
Keith says stop being a bully, Robbie.
I know. I've been a little boisterous today. I'm sorry. We have somebody else, like Scott on the text line, thinks
stupid
I called him stupid
Scott.
Earlier.
Yeah, you didn't call him stupid, did you?
I very usually try to refrain from specifically referring to anyone specifically as stupid.
I thought you said it was stupid. Like the
I
idea
thought it did too.
Was stupid. Yeah.
So
an iron
if I
chef-
did, I apologize.
James says an Iron Chef cook-off. Ryan Tannehill can cook the hell out of Josh Allen.
Maybe so.
Mahomes and Rodgers in a class of their own. So Kevin's saying that. Yeah, so they have rings, right? But I'm gonna put Burrow right up there with you know anybody you want to put up there. Right now, Burrow, like, forget age and, like, longevity. This is a good question for you. You have one season. You have one team. You know, it's the same exact team.
Yeah.
Are you taking Burrow right now or are you taking Rodgers to quarterback the team?
Burrow.
Yeah, I think I am too. And look, I think Rodgers may be the most talented thrower of the football ever, but I'm with you.
One team right now, I'm going Burrow. I mean, I think he's – look, I think, you know, Rodgers is still very good. Don't get me wrong. He's not the same, right? Like, he's not the same as he was in his prime. Like, he is 40. Like, the arm strength isn't quite the same as it used to be.
Right.
Yeah, still very good. Sure. Still going to be effective. Yeah, very intriguing team he's got this year.
I mean, he looked terrible against the Titans last year, but he was hurt. So
right. So it's a good. I mean, look, there's
Tannehill beat him, by the way.
Tannehill did beat him.
Yes.
There is that.
Keith said, just say with all due respect when you're finished. I'll be
now,
fine.
With all due respect.
I'm sorry if I offended you. I didn't say anything offensive, but if I offended you, I'm sorry.
Adam in Portland says, I want you two to battle on Fridays, the last segment. Like Seinfeld feats of strength for Festivus, you two can arm wrestle or something.
I don't really disagree with you. I'm just a little less on the scale of strength.
Yeah.
To his point there. Yeah, Robbie would crush me in arm wrestling.
I don't know about all that. Joe's an athlete.
Well, I mean, I'll beat you in cornhole.
There we go. I'm very interested to see, like, as this offseason continues to go on and we move into training camp, and let's say, like, Will Levis gets into a preseason game and plays really well. Like, because this happens every year. Somebody gets in the preseason and plays really well, and you're like, oh, boy, what kind of player could they be for the Titans? Like, if Levis goes in the preseason and looks good, how much does the Ryan Tannehill heat up with the fan base?
Well, look, it's gonna be discussed the entire time. And if they're 2-3 and Tannehill's played well, it doesn't matter. Put in Levis. That's how people are gonna be.
Yeah.
James says, let's put it this way. Only in Nashville we're talking about Cannon, our starting quarterback, to start an unproven draftee. It's not happening in those other cities, it's happening here.
That's just 100% not true, guys. Guys, I'm not trying to compare Will Levis to Patrick Mahomes. Don't hear what I'm not saying. Like, this idea that this doesn't happen anywhere else is ridiculous. Guys, go look at Alex Smith's the final year in Kansas City. Go look at his numbers. He threw for like 4,000 yards and like four picks and for like 25, 26 touchdowns, somewhere in that neighborhood. I don't have him in front of me. I'll pull him up. Alex Smith was really good, and he was a really good player. But they thought that he wasn't good enough to win a Super Bowl, and they identified somebody in the draft that they thought that they was. It's basically the exact same scenario. Now, again, I'm not saying that Will Levis.
Headline.
Yes, thank you. I'm not saying Robbie Will Levis Stanley is going to be Patrick Mahomes. But, like, the idea that other teams don't do this, what are we talking about? Yes, they do. They do it all the time.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, look, at some point in Detroit, it may happen. It'll be a little bit down the road. But, like, Jared Goff could be really good this year and next year. But at some point, you know, if they don't do anything, and believe me, they won't because they're the Lions, people will be screaming for Hendon Hooker. I mean, it won't take long. It happens often. I mean, I'm trying to think, like Lamar Jackson's rookie year. Was that Flacco? That was Flacco, right?
Yes,
yeah,
it was.
That was Flacco. So,
by the way, Alex Smith's last year in Kansas City, 67.5% completion percentage, 4,042 yards, 26 touchdowns, 5 picks.
See ya.
We'll see you later.
Now, part of that was, I will say, what's interesting on that is, like, what if they don't blow the, I mean, they're handled.
Yeah,
the
beat by Marcus, and they said, you know what, you're out.
Buddy. Yeah, I mean, what if they don't blow that game?
Travis Kelce got hurt.
And make a little bit of a run.
Travis Kelce doesn't get hurt. They probably don't blow that game.
Yeah. But that playoff game made it easier, right? Yeah. The loss made it easier to say, see, he just isn't up to it in January.
That does it for us on Robbie and Rex Row. We'll be back coming up on Monday. Chase and Michelle up next. This is 102.5, 106.3, The Game.